Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Ring. For $50 off the Ring of Security Kit, go to ring.com/campfire. Protect your family and your home. Go to ring.com/campfire today. Thanks, Ring.
Welcome to our gathering tonight. Here we share stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things. Sit back, relax, and warm yourself by Jim Harold's Campfire.
Welcome to the campfire. I am Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you once again. And boy, do we have some great stories this week. I'm really excited about it. First, I want to tell you, though, about something else I'm really excited about, and this is so cool. Now, as you know, I've had a series of campfire books that have come out. And I saw where people are absolutely loving this idea of adult coloring books. So I thought, why not combine the two? We take an image, a vignette, from a campfire story, a classic campfire story, and create a book, an adult coloring book for the campfire. And that's just what we've done, and it is available right now. You can get it right now. All you have to do is go over to Amazon.com and look up my name, Jim Harold, and you'll find it. Or I've created a very easy link for you. You can go to right to jimharoldbooks.com. That's jimharoldbooks.com, and check it out. Now, it's done by acclaimed artist Len Peralta. He's done work for Discovery Channel and Warner Brothers and the Mystery Science 3000 guys. Just amazing, amazing artist. And you got to see this to believe it. It is fantastic. So please check it out at jimharoldbooks.com. And if you do buy it or have already purchased it, please, when you get that copy in your hands, go over to Amazon and leave a rating and a review. That helps us tremendously so we can introduce more people to the book and also to these programs. That's part of it too. Thank you so much for that. And check it out at jimharoldbooks.com and Amazon in wherever country you may live. And now on to these great campfire stories. Next, from the great state of Florida, Madison's on the line. She's been listening for about 6 months, and Madison is a little bit different because she's been living in a haunted house for almost 3 years, and she's going to tell us all about it. Madison, welcome to the program, and tell us about living in a haunted house.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
So it all started almost 3 years ago. I was starting my sophomore year of high school. It was in that October, and I just graduated in June, just to give like a time frame. So we bought this house knowing that it was right in front of a graveyard. So my family's always been pretty strongly believing in the supernatural. So we always like kind of joked about it, and I always had a kind of strange feeling about the house, but nothing really that would ever make me think that something was genuinely going on. Until about a year into living in the house, I had a boyfriend who one day was like, let's go into the graveyard. And I naturally, of course, was like, no, please, let's not. I don't think that's a good idea. But he eventually convinced me, and nothing strange really happened in the graveyard. We just kind of walked around for like an hour. And then we came back. And things got a little bit strange. Things would start to go missing. So something that happened pretty commonly is I would lay out clothes, like to wear to school or to work, and I would wake up the next morning and they wouldn't be there anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I would look for weeks and weeks and weeks, and I would be like, you know, Mom, have you seen this? Have you seen this shirt or this pair of pants? And she'd be like, no. But of course, when your 16-year-old daughter 17 tells you that she can't find something, your first thought isn't, oh, it's a ghost taking her things. So they kind of just told me to brush it off and just find my stuff. But then it started to happen to my mom too. And The things would reappear exactly where I had left them. So if I had laid a shirt out on my bed, 2 weeks after it had gone missing, it would be there sitting on my bed waiting for me. And so I thought that was kind of strange, but I kind of tried to just brush it off and be like, okay, that's just, you know, you just misplaced it. And then things continued to progress a little bit. My dog, who would sleep with me in my room, who I won't let sleep in the room anymore because every night without fail at 3 a.m. he would wake me up barking in the corner of my bedroom. So I stopped letting him sleep in there. I was like, whatever. He's just barking at something. He just wants to get out. And then in February of this year is when things kind of started to skyrocket a little bit. I was using one of those apps that will let you do like a face swap. So it'll send facial features of two people. And I was trying to do it with my dog. And it wouldn't recognize his facial features. And then it suddenly swapped my face with the air behind me.
Oh.
So I screenshotted the picture and I saved it. And it had morphed my face kind of, so I was facing a different direction.
My
facial features had moved. And I still have the photo, and I was actually looking at it today just to remind myself what it looks like. And one of my eyes is covered with like a black spot.
Oh my.
And I showed it to my mom, and she was like, okay, maybe something genuinely is happening. So from there, I started to have more kind of frightening experiences. On a semi-regular basis, I will see the shadow of a man walk across my bedroom wall. He'll disappear when he gets to the other side. One day, shortly after the photo was taken, I saw a red blur, like, shoot across my kitchen. Which I have kind of, you know, it's like, I guess some people say that they can sense whether spirits are male or female. I've sensed that that's a woman, and I know that she doesn't mean us any harm. So I've never really minded her. One day in the backyard, I was just looking out, looking at the dogs, and I saw two children playing. And I do have a younger brother who's 11. He's my stepbrother. So he's with his mom half of the time, and it was on a day that he was with his mom. And so I knew it wasn't him or his friends, and I know what all of my neighbors look like, and our backyard is fenced in. So I know it wasn't any of them, and I looked away and for a moment, and then they came back, or they were gone. So I was like, okay, that's kind of strange. But nothing ever really frightened me until I started seeing I call the man at the top of the stairs because, like, that's what he is.
Wow.
Because so the way that my house is set up, you have to, like, I go in through the garage when I come home late, so I don't wake up our dog who doesn't bark and wake up my parents just to, you know, be respectful when they're asleep. And that is right by a staircase that just leads to like an extra room. It's not like an actual extra floor. It's just one open room where we keep like my other stepbrother's Xbox and things like that. So I have to walk past it to get to my room because it's directly by the door to get in through the garage, if that makes sense. So whenever I walk in, I just get that eerie feeling that people describe. As soon as I walk in the door, and I can feel eyes on my back as I walk into my room. And so in the past few months, I've started looking up, and you can see the outline of a man's legs. And you can only see it if I'm the only one who's awake or I'm the only one who's home.
Huh. So do you think whatever this is kind of tuning into you specifically?
I think so. And my mom has said that she can like feel like she gets that weird feeling by the stairs as well. And I like to tell myself that I was just psyching myself out. But a few months ago, I actually had to go up to my hometown for a funeral. And I ended up staying in the house of my aunt who had passed away. And so I was in her home for 3 or 4 days. And, you know, the perfect place where you would psych yourself out and get that feeling. And I just felt nothing. Just felt as comfortable as could be because she wasn't there. And so that was when I was like, oh, no. Like, I'm not making myself nervous. Like, this is a real thing. And then I started to see the outline of him at the top of the stairs. And he doesn't do anything. He doesn't really try to bother me. But he's just there. And I can feel the, like, watching. And that's what makes me uncomfortable. But it's never really been anything malicious or or I can't say that word. Oh, I just embarrassed myself. But it's never been anything that's like seemed like it's going to be harmful, which is why no one's really done anything.
Right.
But yeah, the only other experiences that anyone in my family has had is my older stepbrother, who's 17. I will text him when he is at the house at night and I hear someone walking around the kitchen. I'll just be like, hey, is that you? And he'll just reply and be like, yeah, that's me. Don't worry. Because he doesn't believe in any of it. So he just kind of humors me. Oh, but one night I was in my bathroom just like brushing my teeth and getting ready for bed. And he texted me and he was like, that's you in the kitchen, right?
Right.
And so I responded and I was like, no, that's not me. Like, are you messing around? And he was like, no, like I heard footsteps. So that's the only other experience. And he still thinks that I'm messing with him, of course. But yeah, most of the experiences that I've had, I believe.
Now, let me ask you this. And I just want to just put it out there and get your thoughts on it. And sometimes there have been reports of things like poltergeists and things like that around younger people. And I think I see in your submission here, you said you're 18, right?
Yes, I'm 18.
Is it a situation, do you think, that maybe, and not intentionally, but do you think somehow through your energy, you're almost generating this? You know what I'm saying? It's not like you're, not that you're imagining it, it's actually happening, but something about your energy generates this. Just an idea. What do you think?
No, I definitely think that that has something to do with it, because from the beginning, I was very open to the idea that something could be in the house. Because of the graveyard so close to us. And I have just always believed in it from the very beginning when things started to go missing. I kind of had like a good idea of what was going on.
Right.
And so my mom and I have actually talked about it, and she kind of wants me a little bit to put the energy out there to see if things will happen, just so she can see for herself, because we don't think anything bad will really happen. We're mostly just curious. Mm-hmm. So she's like asked me to talk to them. And so I have, and I've been like, hi, I don't mean you any harm. I just ask that you extend the same respect to me. So I definitely think that I've been putting out energy that's helped it kind of show itself to me.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, really, spooky story. The man at the top of the stairs, that might be a show title. That's a great one.
That would be really great. That'd be
over
really cool.
Over doing hundreds of these shows, I'm starting to run out of things. So it's like when somebody gives me a good title like that, I've got to use it. Well, Madison, thank you for being a part of the Campfire and listening, and please tell your friends.
Thank you. I will.
Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Ring. Now, ghost stories are scary, but I'm going to tell you something even scarier. What about this statistic? There's a home burglary every 13 seconds. Now, here's something that I didn't know, and the people over at Ring.com explained it to me. Most of these happen in broad daylight, and the first thing these sneaky people do, these burglars, they ring your doorbell to see if you're there. And then if nobody answers, guess what? You're the next victim. However, there's a way to beat that. It's called the Ring Video Doorbell, and it's been proven to stop crooks, burglars, before they even get into your house, because they test it. And regardless of where you are in the world, if you have data access, you can say, hey, we're busy right now. We can't come to the door. They think you're at home. It's fantastic. It's all done through your smartphone. And not only do they have the Ring Video Doorbell, which I have, which is great, but now they've upped their game. They're using their advanced motion detection technology to protect your entire home, your entire property, with the Ring of Security kit. Now, with this kit, you get the Ring Video Doorbell for the front door and a Ring Stick-Up Cam. It's a wireless weatherproof HD camera to keep an eye on other parts of your property. And they both install in minutes, and working together, they provide 24/7 monitoring of your entire home, whether you're in the living room or thousands of miles away. Now, fans of the show know that I value my family. And we feel much safer, and I feel much safer now that I have a ring. I hope that you'll enjoy it as well. For a limited time, and jump on this, my listeners get $50 off the Ring of Security Kit. It's the lowest price you'll find anywhere. All you have to do is go to ring.com/campfire. That's ring.com/campfire. Join the hundreds of thousands who protect their home with Ring. Really, your family's worth it. Protect your family and your home. Go to ring.com/campfire today. Thanks, Ring. Next on the line is Buffy. Now, she's over in our virtual campfire group, and she's been listening for a couple of years, and she's a fellow Buckeye. She's got, like, everything going for her. And the other thing she has going for you, hold on to your hats today, because we have a story about a hat man, and it's pretty spooky. Buffy, thank you for joining us. I'm really excited to share this story with the group. Tell us what happened.
I'm excited to share it. It was a strange story. About a week ago, I work second shift. I'm a nurse. And in our nurse's station, we, of course, have a panel that lights up and lets us know when a patient needs something, a call light system.
Sure.
And about 10 o'clock the other night, which is usually not a very busy time, if somebody puts their call light on, it's kind of rare. Usually most patients are settled in unless they want pain medicine. And the light system started going crazy. And the unit that I was on, we have the panel for the whole building that we can see. Well, we noticed all these different random lights started going all over the building. And my coworker and I just assumed that the panel was messing up.
Sure.
So she started to kind of troubleshoot it. And, of course, we sent nursing assistants down to answer lights just in case somebody did need something. And it started to get very funny. We started to get phone calls from nurses on the other floors, and our staff was coming up saying, "You're not going to believe this, but people are saying that there was a man in all black wearing a hat that either they saw him in their room or a couple of them reported that he just walked through the walls."
Mm-hmm.
Very frightening. And these are people, I mean, all over different floors, and it happens so fast.
That's amazing.
One lady was so upset, she actually called 911. She called 911 saying if there was someone in her room, and she was petrified. And we had a gentleman, God love him, he was using the urinal at the time, and he said that he felt somebody touch his arm. I know. And he looked, and he said there was a man in all black. And he said to him, "Are you the angel of death coming for me?"
Yeah.
And he said that whatever this entity was answered, "No, another man." And then dissipated.
Ooh, ooh,
right before his eyes.
Dissipated. So didn't leave the room.
No.
Kind of just disappeared in midair. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was the most frightening thing. So, but we didn't have anyone die that night or even the next day. So I don't know. I mean, we kind of batted back and forth, the other staff members and I, you know, was he answering him that, "No, I'm not here for you," or "No, I'm another man other than the angel of
death."
Yeah,
it might be taking him to a little less pleasant place, it sounds like.
We actually have ladies in black, people complaining long black hair.
Wow.
That they have seen as well.
I mean, I'm amazed by these stories because you, as a healthcare worker on the front lines, You're seeing these people in these situations. There is a considerable amount of people passing and so forth. You're there to see it. And, you know, we've had over the history of the Campfire Show since 2009, we've had numerous healthcare professionals call us. We've had doctors. I've had paramedics. I've had nurses who have called us and said, you know, these strange things do happen. And it sounds like they happen in your case more than once.
We see a lot of people report, especially people that are getting ready to pass, they'll see children.
Interesting.
They will see children. And we've actually had patients complain to us and say, "How could you let those children run through the hall last night in the middle of the night? I'm here. I'm trying to rest and recuperate. And I mean, what do you say?" Well, we didn't have any children.
Huh. And I wonder who those children could be. I mean, if we assume they're from the other side, are they people to help shepherd over? And if they are they loved ones, maybe kids they knew when they were growing up, maybe family members and friends who maybe died at a very young age. You have to wonder who those children are.
I don't know, but I can assure you of this. If I see children when I'm passing, I'm going to be very scared, because all the horror movies I've ever seen of children are the scariest.
Well, that's just the movies, Buffy.
I did have a patient one night that had children in her room.
Oh.
And she was very elderly, and I had gone in to clear her feeding tube pump. And I just needed the light from the hallway. I didn't have to turn her light on and disturb her. I was in there, and I was clearing it, and all of a sudden she starts speaking, but it's conversational speaking. Like, she's answering someone back and then quickly responding. And I'm like, honey, are you okay? Who are you talking to? And she said, "Those children behind you, and they're not very happy that you're in here interrupting us."
Oh my.
I ran out of that room. To this day, I don't go in that room alone at night. I always make one of my nursing assistants come with me.
I think this is one of the most interesting pieces of afterlife research, is people that are on the cusp of death and things that deathbed experiences. You know, one of the most famous ones is Thomas Edison, who was looking out into space and said, "It's very beautiful over there." Steve Jobs, who I believe his last words were, "Oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow."
Oh,
hi. So, I mean, really, we don't really have a glimpse into the other side, right? When we're here, for the most part, we don't.
No.
But these people who kind of have, or who are passing, almost have a foot in both worlds. And they're almost like the only messengers that we have. They're here with us, and yet they can see over to the other side. And I think some of their testimony and some of the things that have happened is some of the most insightful and fascinating stuff. Now, the skeptic will say, these are hallucinations. But in your case, for example, they are, what is basically happening is that people who are very lucid are reporting these things. Multiple people, you had your switchboard going crazy, or your notification board. So really, to me, it is quite, quite fascinating.
Well, and I've had plenty of people, a lot of people, when they pass, right before they pass, they'll have a smile. They'll break out. I mean, even if they've been in severe pain, they'll get this almost pleasant look and a smile come over them. So I find it hard to believe that there's nothing when we go over there. It's just, I've been a nurse for 17 years. I've seen too many of instances like that.
Right. And we've had hardcore doctors on who are men of science, and they said, you know, I had this thing happen. I know it happened. And, it's kind of changed my perspective that, yes, science has a place, but there's more than just science. There's things that we don't understand. I had one gentleman who basically was called up to a floor to assist with, is it Code Blue? Or when somebody's in full cardiac arrest. And he saw a naked man come down the steps, or just a man with his gown on, but he didn't have any pants on. And he called out and he said, "Somebody come get this gentleman." And he went ahead to help the person who was in arrest. And guess who was lying on the bed in arrest?
That man,
and the man died.
So, we had that with my English teacher. She was my patient. She was just there a few months ago, and she had double knee replacement. And she was on our rehab unit. And the rehab unit, it's more of a step-down unit from the hospital where they're there for therapy, but they have these beautiful private room suites to themselves.
Right.
And she had put her call light on. They had recorded third shift because they were kind of laughing. They said, "Wow, we might want to watch her if we give her some pain medicine." But she had put her light on, and she said, "There was an elderly gentleman dressed in a tweed suit. He was very handsome, and he walked by my door. But I didn't see him turn around and walk back up." And it struck her odd because it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, they said. And her room was the very last to the exit door. And had somebody actually gone out that door, it would have alarmed. And there was no one across the hall from her that he could have been going in to see. Well, a few days later on down the line, she hollers, calls us in there, and there was a picture of the obituary section, a gentleman. He had on a very nice tweed suit. She had no way of knowing this, but that very night that she saw him, that same patient, he wasn't wearing a tweed suit, he was, of course, in a hospital gown, he had coded two floors over and passed away.
Oh, my.
And this is a very highly educated woman. She was my English teacher. She's very lucid and very well known in the community. And she will tell you, I know what I saw.
Right. Right. Well, I tell you, I believe it happens. In fact, Buffy, I'm kind of inspired by you calling in, and we're going to air this on this program, but I would love for other healthcare professionals to go over to jimherold.com/campfire, sign up, share your story, because what I'd like to do is have a show, just one episode dedicated to healthcare professionals who have experienced something strange in the workplace, something otherworldly. I'd love to do that because I think there's so many stories out there. And I know some people won't want to do that because, you know, they want to remain anonymous or whatever. If you want to do that, we can use a pseudonym. We can use a pen name to kind of protect your identity as much as possible. So if that's a concern, we can certainly do that to help out. But I think it's a fascinating topic. And again, you guys are on the front lines and you're seeing it. And it's not like you're ghost hunting or something. You're doing your job. And these unbelievable things happen to you.
But I think it, you know, there's something over there. And I mean, truly, I've seen so many people that pass, even people that have been in horrible pain, right before they get this like pleasant smile on their face, or you'll see them reach out and stare up to the ceiling.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, it's just, I've seen it too much and too many times in my nursing career.
Well, it's certainly a comfort. And thank you so much for joining us on the campfire tonight,
Buffy.
Thank
you for letting me.
Another new listener on the line. We must be getting a lot of new listeners these days. That's very exciting. Aaron is on the line from Ohio, a fellow Buckeye, and so glad to talk to him tonight. Now, in his story, he's going to tell us about some strange things that have started to happen after he started listening to the campfire. Is campfire opening some kind of a door? Let's see what Aaron has to say. Welcome to the program, sir. And please tell us what's happened.
Yeah. So again, thanks for having me on, Jim. That's it's really awesome. One of the things that always interested me and scared me when I was younger was, you know, growing up and having a kid and that kid having an experience. Well, the other night, we were getting ready for bed. She kept pointing up, you know, up at the corner of the room, and I just kind of brushed it aside. She's just seeing a bug or something. And she starts finally saying, you know, I see this man, or I think she called him a dad. I see dad in the corner. I was like, no, what do you mean? Yes, that's what I said. And I was like, okay, well, let's get you in bed. You're just tired. You're just overactive imagination, you know. Don't tell the mom. She doesn't. She gets pretty scared about that kind of stuff. And you know, another day goes by. It's my day off. Gets up from nap, and she tells me she has a dream. Mm-hmm. And again, my daughter, she's about to be three, so she's not the biggest with words, but she can do very segmented sentences. And usually her dreams consist of singing animals for the most part. But this time there was a man that was not singing or dancing. It was just talking. And I tried to get her to see if she could, you know, say anything that he was talking about. And instead she just, you know, let out a bunch of gibberish sentences because she probably didn't understand the words very well to repeat them. And then, let's see here. I'm trying to remember the next one. I'm sorry. The next one was just, I was laying in bed one night. We had just put her down. Mom was in the bathroom, door shut, brushing her teeth. Well, I thought she was just going to the bathroom. And dog was sitting there chasing his tail on the bed.
Right.
And I could have swore, or at least, you know, to me it was clear as day, I heard someone say something and then finished with that puppy. And I was just like, I thought my daughter got up out of bed or something. Got up and looked, didn't see anything. And then, went into the bathroom. She was brushing her teeth, so she didn't say anything. I was like, hey, did you call for me or anything? She's like, no, just brush my teeth.
Huh.
I was like, okay.
And I'll close
the door. Yeah. So, she hasn't talked about it for a few days, but definitely after three times now describing some type of man, and then now that one voice I heard. I don't know if it was her or something else, but she was asleep and mom was brushing teeth, so I was the only one else in the house.
Oh my. Well, now, what do you think is causing all this? I mean, you recently started to listening to Campfire. Do you think, and I would hate to think this, I would hate to think that we've opened some kind of door with the show here. Do you think it's a show? Do you think there's something else? What do you think's going on?
I'd probably lean towards more just coincidence. That was just kind of funny to me. But I know one thing that can, or allegedly that can kind of stir up things to happen is just like strife in life and stuff like that. And
yes. I've heard
me that. And her mom just got over a bump in life, and now we're just trying to, we're smoothing things back, but now this is, I don't think there's anything bad from it. I should be scared, but it's just, I don't know, it's like stirring up activity from life is what I'm guessing.
Well, the thing is, I think it's pretty well known or well accepted in kind of the supernatural community that children are more sensitive. It's kind of like, I think it's a couple of things. I mean, some people would say they're closer to birth, so they've not outgrown it. And then the other thing is that they can see spirits, they can talk to spirits, they believe in spirits because they haven't had it kind of drummed into their brain that it's impossible. So they can believe in magic in some ways. And I do believe kids see things. I think animals too see things. You know, we've had dogs like look into thin air and they're like, what is it looking at? And it wasn't a fly or anything. It's just looking at thin air like somebody's standing there. It's like, ooh, who, what's there? So, I mean, I think that I believe in that. I believe that kids have that ability. I believe that pets have that ability. And those of us who have reached a ripe old age, we kind of have it knocked out of us.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of my favorite theories where their skulls aren't completely attached, so their alleged third eye is kind of more open to everything.
Oh, that's an interesting thought. That's an interesting thought.
Yeah, that was a fun read.
Well, I'm glad to hear that the campfire isn't what's opened the door. I got a little worried there. I don't want to be causing, I don't want to be doing the work of a Ouija board or something, because those kind of do scare me, and I think can open some weird doors. But hopefully just the campfire can be somewhat enlightening and hopefully entertaining. And Aaron, thank you for being a part of it tonight.
Thanks for having me on, Jim.
Another new listener, 3 months, Alexa from upstate New York. And we're so glad to have her as a part of the campfire and in telling her stories. And the first one she's going to tell one tonight, and I think she's going to come back maybe in a few weeks with another one, she said, is one about driving to a friend's camp and the strangeness that ensued. Alexa, welcome to the program.
Hi, Jim.
Tell us what happened.
Thank you. About 4 years ago, my friends and I were home for the summer, and one of my friends spends the whole summer in a camp upstate in the mountains, and she invited us to spend the day with her. So it was me and two other people, and then my friend, and we took two cars so that we could leave and come back. And I was in a car with another girl, and then they were traveling in front of us. We were following them. And we were following them for a while. It was about a 3-hour drive. If you go into the mountains and there's the roads up to camp are just super windy, and we would have a couple of minutes at a time, we would lose sight of them. But if we just kept going, you know, we'd catch a peek through the trees. We could see them every couple of minutes. Until we got to one spot where the road evened out, but it curved enough that we lost them for about 15 minutes. And at first we didn't notice it. We were talking. We didn't really see anything different. But then it started to get darker out and like twilight. And we were like, we haven't seen them for 15, 20, 30 minutes. We start driving a little bit faster because we can't see them. We can't get in touch with them because the cell service is really bad in the mountains. And then we start seeing, we saw like a broken down truck and some weird yard chairs and stuff on the side of the road, just spaced out like a couple of hundred feet. And then we started seeing houses, like two or three at a time on either side of the road. And my friend and I were like, this is kind of weird. Like, that looks pretty strange. That shouldn't be in the middle of the woods.
Right.
especially when you can't get in touch with your friend, it's a little spooky because you're not in, you know, you don't know where you are. And then we came into, we saw up ahead and then we started to slow down because we didn't know what it was. Just like 10 houses on either side of the road, that were a little ways back. Some were very small, like almost shacks, and then some were trailers, like broken down trailers.
Right.
And then there were, and they're all overgrown and kind of like falling apart. And then there were a lot of trucks, not like I didn't count because we didn't slow down, but there were a lot of trucks. They didn't look old. They didn't look new, parked along the side of the road with them facing each other. So we would have to drive through them.
Huh.
And as we drove through, we saw a lot of white men in white tank tops that were like standing amidst the trucks and like in clusters. And then as we drove through, we saw them stop, watch us, and then start walking towards the road. So like they were coming towards the car.
Yeah.
We just drove fast. I mean, we were freaking out at that point because it was so weird.
Absolutely.
And I had been trying to call my friend pretty constantly. Like as soon as I noticed that we hadn't seen her for a while,
right?
I wasn't driving. So I was calling her like it would ring for 3 minutes or it would ring 3 times. And then I would hang up and call again, like just constantly over and over. And my cell phone wasn't getting any service. I wasn't getting any like dropped calls, like,
right.
Like when the phone rings and then it just stops ringing.
Right.
We weren't getting any voicemails from her.
Mm-hmm.
But then we turned the corner cause we just sped through that weirdness and we, and then a call picked up. So then we got in touch with her. And she was like, "Where have you guys been? Like, we're on the side of the road. We've been waiting for you for like 30 minutes. Where are you?" And we were like, "We haven't seen you for like 45 minutes. We just went through that weird town with a bunch of guys on the side of the road." And they had no idea what we were talking about. They said they had been driving for a while. They noticed that we weren't behind us. They also noticed that they couldn't get in touch with us and that my friend had been calling like once every like 10 minutes. They weren't as worried and then eventually just stopped and waited for us. And as we were having this conversation, we flew right past them and we had to turn back. And then when we met up with them, and we told them what happened. They were like, "We never saw any of that."
Ooh,
we were just driving.
You just gave me chills.
Yeah, we didn't see anything except for curves and, you know, trees. And
oh my gosh,
there might have been a clearing or two, but
oh
like nothing. Yeah, and it was my friend and I that were in the car that saw this were like, just how did you not see that? Like, of course, at the beginning, like, of course you could miss, like, one or two things because it was small. There was, like, you know, maybe a car or a bike or things that you would see and, like, somebody forgot in their yard. Fine. But, like, the trucks and all these houses, and they didn't see any of them. And then after a while, we were like, okay, maybe we took a wrong turn. Like, maybe we found some turn off road or whatever. My friend who goes to the camp every day or every summer was like, there isn't a town. We're in between towns right now. Like we're not anywhere near campgrounds or like side roads or anything. And she was like, "I go here every single year. There's really no place for you guys to like get lost. It's a straight, you know, like it's a straight, it's like not straight, but you know what I mean? Like it's going around mountains. It's not." So we were just like flabbergasted, I guess. And
sure.
And spooked out. I'm a little bit more, well, actually, my friend is a little bit more like believes in the supernatural and will like believe anything you tell him. He's like, oh yeah, totally. Oh yeah. Like that makes total sense. But I was like, the things that I've experienced have always been like more spiritual, like maybe it was a dream or maybe it was, I was super tired or something, but this was like the middle of the day, very clear headed, just this weird thing that happened. And we couldn't figure out any explanation for it.
I can tell you, we've had on the show, and you're new to the show, so you probably not heard those, but we've had weird time slip stories. We've had a man and his spouse, they went into a movie theater, and was an old movie, Hellboy, I think from like 10 or 15 years ago.
Oh yeah.
And basically he walks in with his wife, what they think is 10 minutes before the thing starts. And the movie's playing and they thought it was a trailer. And then they realize it's the end of the movie and the credits play and they look at each other and they like ask around and they determine the time is like 2 hours from when they came in, and they go out and they talk to the ticket taker. And he's like, do you remember us? And it's like, yeah, I remember you came in a couple hours ago when the movie started. They had a time slip. And he even took it to the point, because I had somebody question me about it, and I emailed this gentleman, and I think he's still a listener.
Right.
And that was, this story's from 2009, 2010. It was in one of my books.
Right.
And he swears, somebody said, well, it was daylight savings time, blah, blah, blah. He said, no, I know the date.
Yeah.
He says, I'm into watches. I know it wasn't. It was a total time slip. And we've had people go into almost a Twilight Zone kind of thing, like almost an alternate reality. I mean, the universe is a far stranger place, I think, than people admit. And maybe, just maybe, somehow you guys, and I know this sounds crazy, but maybe you guys slipped into some kind of parallel dimension. Did you ever think of that?
I totally agree though, that there are just things that we don't understand. It was just weird because you do hear stories I listen to your podcast and it's awesome to hear these things, but it was one of those things that you just don't expect to actually happen. And at first I was convinced for a while that we had driven through a ghost town, because that's what we were like joking about. Like as my friend and I were seeing these weird things, we're like, oh, it's a ghost town. Like there's crazy people that live up here. And seeing it and then going through it, and we were like, all right, this is a real, like, we are in a real serious, if our car breaks down, we are in trouble. And then meeting up with our friends and like, you know, maybe if we talk about it, we'll realize that we were okay and never in any real danger. But it was like, it went from a very real sense of danger to not sure if it actually happened.
Wow.
Which I feel like that's definitely like a time slip or alternate reality thing, as opposed to like a ghost town, which is what I used to think it was. I don't know. It was really weird.
Well, you've given us something. You've given us something to think about tonight. And I know you have another story, and we'll talk about that in a few weeks. I thank you so much for joining us tonight on The Campfire with a head scratcher of a story. I love those kind of stories. Thank you so much.
Me too. Thank you.
Next up, we have another one of those new listeners. He's been listening for 2 weeks. We're getting a lot of those, and that is good news. Specifically, we're getting a lot of people from Spotify. So thank you, Spotify, for featuring us on your app. And Brandon from New York is on the line, listening again for 2 weeks. And he has a story about something we've talked about on the show before. Very mysterious. Is it a scientifically explainable thing, or is it something supernatural? Or is it maybe one or the other in different cases? I don't know. But Brandon's got his stories about sleep paralysis. Brandon, welcome to the program. And please tell us what happened.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thank you for having me. I'm going to start off with telling about the first time I've been through sleep paralysis. It was when I was a little bit younger, I think around 8, 9 years old, somewhere in that area. At the time, I was sleeping in my parents' room. I guess I must have had a nightmare, and little kid, as you can probably attest to, you know, go in their parents' room when they're scared because it's somewhat of a safe haven, I guess you could say.
Sure.
So the room set up when you're laying on the bed, if you have your head near the the headrest or whatever you want to call it on the bed.
Yeah.
Yep. You look up and down the wall, there's a crucifix. That's going to come in a little bit later. I remember that specifically. So I fell asleep in my parents' room. My mom was next to me. I think my dad must have been working on the night shift because it was just me and her. Fell asleep, and I woke up in the middle of the night. It was dark. Couldn't really see anything. So I was like, okay, this is kind of weird. I'll just, you know, try to go back to sleep or roll over.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to roll over, and I couldn't. Like, I was stuck. Like, I couldn't move. It was almost as if I was stuck in a metal shell or cemented down.
Yeah, that's got to be a scary feeling.
It's terrifying. You know, you're so used to waking up every morning or even after naps and, you know, roll over, everything's fine. But when you go to roll over and when you're sleeping, you can't move. It's quite a thing to go through.
Sure.
But yeah, I went to roll over and I couldn't. So I started to like get freaked out a little bit, like, you know, what's going on? You know, I didn't know if something happened here. What? So I look up. I could move my head, or at least my eyes. I don't know if it was my head or my eyes. But I look up and the crucifix was not a crucifix. It was somewhat of a shadow sticking out of the wall, which I didn't know. You know, that really kind of hit a button for me. I was like, hey, that's not right. It looked somewhat like an animal with horns, like a ram or something like that.
Oh, that's scary.
So I was like, that's a little, you know, different. And I go to turn my head to the left, to the side of the bed, and there's a black figure, like a silhouette of a person. There was no facial features. It was just kind of like a shadow, as if somebody was just standing there and they weren't moving. They weren't, you know, making aggressive movements towards me. They were just sitting there looking at me. So, that's the point where I tried to scream. And I couldn't, couldn't move, couldn't scream, couldn't talk, couldn't anything. So I'm seeing a shadow above the headrest and then a silhouette of a person to my left. It really, really, really scared me. I'm getting goosebumps now, you know, just talking about it.
Sure. I mean, it's scary.
Because, yeah, absolutely. So it took me a little bit trying to scream, trying to yell. And I sat there, and after a while, I kind of just gave up on the thought that I, you know, was able to move, and I thought something was going to happen to me. So I tried one last attempt, and I sat straight up in a cold sweat. It was one of, I think, four times in my entire life I've ever sat up in a cold sweat. And it was pretty terrifying, especially at a young age. You know, it engraves something in your head. You know, when you think back about it, you know, I'm getting chills now. So, now the second time I went through it was probably, I'm going to say 6 or 7 months ago. I was in my room and I woke up in the morning. Now, my stepdad's mother passed away, I think, a month or so before that.
Right.
Now, I don't know if this has any correlation to what happens, but it's the only thing I can piece together if, you know, it means anything. So, woke up in my room, sun was coming through, and I was clearly, you know, 10 in the morning, whatever, because I could see, I could hear the fan. I could see the fan. I could feel the wind blowing on the fan. So I knew I was awake. You know, it's one of those, you go through, I'm sure you can attest to this as well. If you go through something physical, like say breaking a bone or twisting an ankle, whatever the case may be, you can relive that feeling.
Oh yeah.
At any time.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I, you know, I could feel and I could, you know, see and hear the fan, everything. So, it's a vivid memory, and, you know, I tried to move and I couldn't. And then the same, you know, sleep paralysis story that I just told you about, or when I was younger, went through my head. I was like, okay, I know what's going on. I know it's sleep paralysis because, you know, I've done research on it, why I couldn't move when I was sleeping. So I knew what it was. And I know, or I've heard that an easy way to get out of sleep paralysis or, you know, not get out of it, but move easier is to move your pinkies or your toes. Start small. Don't try to move your arm at, you know, one time. Just start small. And I guess it progresses from there. So I was like, okay, try to move my pinkies and they wouldn't budge, which I was fine with because, you know, sleep paralysis keeps you from moving. So trying to move a little bit. And after about a minute and a half, I'd say, I heard a voice, a whisper in my ear. It said, you have to try harder than that. And it was a girl's or a woman's whisper.
Wow.
So I froze. And so it sent chills on my body then and now. So I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know if somebody was actually next to me. I couldn't turn my head this time. So I had no idea. Then I started to freak out. I started to try to move my entire body, my arms, my legs, everything. And now I'm assuming that it could have been my step-grandmother. It could have been something completely different, but I heard a distinct whisper. I've never heard the voice before. It was kind of almost like in a horror movie or a game, you know, when there's a ghostly whisper or something. It was almost somewhat identical, I guess you could say, to something you could imagine would be in a horror movie.
Right.
So moving my arms, moving my legs, and I sat straight up in another cold sweat. I looked around the room, nothing was happening. And the weird part about it was the first time I had sleep paralysis, I remember closing my eyes and sitting up and things were different. Like the shadow wasn't there, crucifix, I saw my mom and everything. But this time I did not close my eyes, I just sat straight up. And there was no transition between sleep and being awake. Like, you know when you're sleeping and you know when you're awake.
Yeah.
Almost like Santa Claus. I went straight from seeing the room and then sitting up and seeing the room. There was no blackout. There was no nothing. So I don't know if science can explain it. I've looked it up and, you know, there's no definitive answer as to what sleep paralysis is. But when you have gone through something like that, and especially when you hear a whisper in your ear when you're going through it, it's really, really freaky.
Yeah, that's it's got to be terrifying. And the thing is, I'm going to share a story which just happened to me this week, Brandon, and it's not quite sleep paralysis, if you bear with me a moment, because your story reminded me a tiny bit of it. And most people, now you've only been listening for 2 weeks, but I'm not someone who claims a lot of paranormal experiences. I've had a couple little things here and there, but nothing really dramatic. But this was something that I was questioning myself, was I dreaming or was I seeing something? This is literally probably, we're recording this on Tuesday, July 12th. This was probably, I'm thinking this was Sunday night, which would have been what, the 10th. And I was listening to one of those meditation things. In fact, it was Joe Gallenberger, who we've had on some of the shows before, and he has some different meditation discs, and I have one copied over to my phone, and I was listening to it, and I kind of woke up for it, and I fell asleep because I can't, that's a problem. When I listen to those things at night, I always fall asleep. So I fell asleep. And I kind of woke up and I was looking and I could see the room clearly. But what I saw very clearly, about 4 feet off the ground in front of me, were two, what looked like they were the shape of, now you're probably too young to know about this, but jacks, like kids play jacks, you know, you throw jacks with a ball.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, they looked like spinning jacks in midair, almost. It was kind of like that shape, not exact, but kind of that idea. And they were kind of like shining blue and red. And there were two of them, and one was slightly higher than the other one. And you know, might have been 30 seconds, it might have been 5 minutes later, my wife comes in and I wake up again and I'm like, what were those? And she's like, what are you talking about? Are you crazy? And I'm like, I saw these two shimmering is the word I'm looking for, two shimmering objects spinning in midair. Now, I am perfectly willing to accept in my case, I'm not saying in your case, but in my case, maybe I was dreaming, but literally the room looked like the room. I mean, it didn't look like a dream of the room. It looked like the room, and these two things were in it. I'd love to hear what other people have to say about that. And it shocked me because I don't recall ever seeing anything that like that in my life. It could have very well been a dream, but I kind of empathize with your story because I had something not as dramatic as what happened to you, but something strange with sleep and seeing things.
Right.
And you kind of scratch your head and it's like, was I imagining that? So I think I have a new appreciation for it now, Brandon.
Yeah, it's definitely odd to think about, especially when you see the room so clearly. You know, you can even thinking, you know, back now, I can pick certain things in the room that I remember seeing that are there now. You know, I could see it clearly. I could see the room as if I were to walk into it right now, it would be the same thing.
Yeah.
So, definitely going through that. It's hard to, you know, think about, you know, what it could have been. Well, in both of our cases, actually, because, you know, it's clear. You know, you're there. You see it like it is.
Right. And
I
almost wonder when we're lying down and when we're sleeping, if there's some kind of veil that becomes much more thin. And if we're able to see things and experience things we couldn't normally because of the state of the brain during sleep and near sleep. Now, I don't deny that some of this stuff is scientifically based and is just, you know, something physiological. But I also wonder if there's a spiritual side to it as well. Well, Brandon, we'll both continue our investigations. Would love to hear from the audience about both of our cases. And I thank you for joining us tonight on Campfire.
Well, thank you for having me, Jim.
I told you that was a good campfire. Wow, that was a lot of fun. Some great stories. And I hope that we have many, many more to come. Please tell yours at jimherold.com/campfire. Check out our virtual campfire group. It's absolutely free on Facebook. Just look for Jim Harold's Virtual Campfire. Ask for an invite. We'll check you out, make sure you're not a spammer, and then we'll promptly approve you. And then also, I hope you'll do two other things. Check out my friends at ring.com. Actually, go to ring.com/campfire to get $50 off that Ring of Security kit for a limited time only. And then finally, my new True Ghost Story adult coloring book at jimheroldbooks.com. Lots of things to go, lots of things to see. And we thank you for spending some of your time here with us around our electronic campfire. I hope you'll come back again. We'll talk to you next time. And as always, stay spooky. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire. Tune in again next time for more stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things.